Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good afternoon, Esther. How are you?
I'm doing well, Eric. Good to talk to you. It's only morning for me, but it is.
That's right.
It's been a full morning, you know, getting ready for Thanksgiving. Getting ready for guests coming in. Oh, we're not supposed to have guests. Well, I have one guest coming. Who is my sister.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Our first Thanksgiving without our mom.
Oh, that's right.
Our cousin was going to come. It's been a long time tradition that my one cousin who emigrated to the United States from Canada, lives in about 3 hours south of here, she would come up, and she is not going to be joining us because of the COVID situation. But it's just funny. This whole COVID year of working from home primarily and what we've been in, I'm like, okay, I'm recording the podcast. Okay, I have time to vacuum. I have time to make the bed up. Okay, good. Okay, wait. All right, good. I just made it just in time.
Yeah.
It's been like that all year.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this year what we're doing is a little different. Again, we're not going to get together with my parents. They're only about 20 minutes away, but we've decided to make some different side dishes, and we're going to do it like a drive-by exchange. So we're going to give them some side dishes there. My mom is making my favorite cheesecake, and so she's going to give us a cheesecake, and then we're going to go to our separate homes and eat, right? So it'll be smaller groups, but the intention is there, the thought is there, and you know, we'll be with each other again soon, but I'm not going to risk anything.
Right, yeah. Right. We had a Zoom supper with one of my stepdaughters last Friday, and because she was going to come over, and then, you know, my husband has COPD, lung issue, and she's just like, no, I'm just not willing. And so that's fine, but we don't cut off, you know, it's like, well, wait, let's just do it on Zoom. And we it wasn't quite the same, understandably. We all know about Zoom now, but we still could connect and catch up for 2 hours, and it was really, really nice. So
that's fantastic.
We will get through this. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were telling me a story slightly. You didn't give me the whole story, but I heard you had a little trouble yesterday.
Oh my goodness. I've gone through this so much with clients. Is, you know, my mom passed away in August, and I am the successor trustee of her trust, and her assets are quite limited, and she has a savings and checking account, $3,000 in checking, $6,000 in savings, because I encouraged her to go ahead, cash out her life insurance policies and stop paying on them. And we did that, I think, earlier this year. So that money is in savings. And it was my fourth visit to this very large bank, my fifth contact, because one was a long conversation on the phone where I was told, oh, the paperwork you filled out wasn't correct. And, oh, it's a good thing I'm looking at this because nobody's looked at this. I'm glad you called, you know, 3 or 4 weeks after I'd signed everything they asked me to. So I went to the bank yesterday on an appointment, and I was sitting there for 2 hours. And I had planned for an hour. It was a noon appointment. I'd planned an hour. I thought after an hour, I'll be done. I can go home, eat some lunch before my client appointment at 2. I had to email the client, say, I'm so sorry, I'm going to be late. Mm. And even the bankers were getting very frustrated because they do everything over the 800 number now, even in the bank. And so even the manager said, gosh, I could resolve this in 10 minutes, but they don't empower us anymore to do that. And so I started, you know, I pulled up my phone multiple times, as you can imagine, and I was looking at Facebook, and I was getting ready to write a very grumpy post, like, wow, 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 poor me. I'm stuck in this bank. I'm starving, and nothing is happening. There are no sandwiches.
Yeah.
It was even kind of an issue that I asked to use the bathroom. It's like, well, it's not really for customers, but, you know, you've been here for
2 hours. Okay. You better.
Yes. So I kind of slunk over, like, take all your stuff with you. So, but instead I thought, you know, I mean, Facebook can be a blessing. And there's a lot of negativity that goes out over Facebook. So I just said, you know, I am grateful for my health. I am grateful to get together with loved ones in a limited way this Thanksgiving. What are you grateful for? And I tell you, I'm still reading the post. I got over 35, 36 responses.
Wow.
And so nice what people were saying. It was such a better result than let's all crab about a corporation that is not providing good customer service.
Yeah. I mean, for good and bad, social media can be a mirror, right? I mean, that's exactly what you experienced. Mm-hmm. If you had put out something grumpy, I'm pretty sure, and I could have joined you on the grumpy side with my recent experiences right. as well. But we all want to band together, right? And we band together in bad times and in good. We band together if it's grumpy or it's positive. And, you know, you would have gotten a lot of messages. Oh, I know, that's just terrible. I dealt right. with blah, blah, blah. And they would have had their time to vent, which can be healthy. But to have just a thread of all negative experiences, that can get, I think I just, my skin would kind of just bunch up at that.
Yeah.
You know, hearing all those things. So it was good to have all that positivity coming back at you. That's nice.
Yeah. And as we go through what we're talking about today is a little bit of a look back from the investment standpoint at 2020. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to look back and go, oh, you know, what a horrible year. But this is about, okay, well, what did we learn, experience? What do we want to take into 2021? And also on a technical basis, what are we seeing in terms of investments, portfolio, et cetera, as we move into 2021? And as always, it comes back to our decisions, how we navigate financial decisions together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we're looking back more of the financial side of things for 2020 this time.
And specifically the investment side of things.
All right.
Yes.
Where do we start?
So obviously we know huge uncertainty. We're actually calling this period of time, at least within my community of financial transitions, this period of great disruption. We don't know, you know, we had the Great Recession, we had the tech bubble crash, we've had different names for things. Mm-hmm. We're calling it the Great Disruption that was caused by this huge uncertainty due to the obviously coronavirus pandemic that has led to business shutdowns, business reopening, then shut down again, causing high unemployment, schools closing, should schools be open or not, university closing, all the way to, again, I was at Costco with my husband on Saturday getting ready for, you know, our Thanksgiving meal and buying things. We were there at 9:30. It was already sold out of toilet paper again. And we just scratch our heads. Like, what is the big issue with the toilet tissue?
Seriously. Jeez.
It's just, you see people, I mean, all the way when we were walking in, we saw all these people, carts of, you know, one huge pack, two huge packs, three huge packs. It's like, goodness gracious. Besides all of that, we had the election uncertainty that's lasted weeks beyond Election Day, appears to be clearing now as we get to the end of November, moving into December. But all of this had a huge impact on the markets and all markets. The S&P 500 had a decline of over 30% in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, when there's anxiety, anxiety can cause quick decisions. You know, I'm just going to make sure I can look at my account tomorrow and know what it's there. So even lots of good quality stocks got sold. Lots of good quality bonds got sold because just want to preserve cash. And when we show our clients, these are the bonds that you own. Are you, you know, just because in general, bond yields, if you're going to buy a bond now, your yields are very low in the 1% mm-hmm. area. But we've bought bonds for our clients in the past years. So their yields are around 3.5%. And what we're looking ahead to is as these mature, what's our next step?
Mm-hmm.
In that first quarter, everything sold off. And why do they do that? Because of the impact, well, because of fear and uncertainty and what will be the earnings impact on companies. And the it's really interesting as we sit here again at the end of November, beginning of December, it's been a surprisingly strong year in the markets, particularly in U.S. large cap stocks, particularly in the technology area. But through earlier this week, the market was up, or through yesterday, up 12.5%. And since the market low of 2020, up 62%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of that has come from the concentration in technology, but it's starting to spread to other sectors now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, 62%, that's pretty doggone good. It's a nice rebound.
It's a very nice rebound. Again, if you we're not market timers, and even those clients were, you know, from, I don't think any client sold out, but it's not because, it's because we hone back to the plan. We are not prescient. Even if we were still down, remember in 2000, 2001, 2002, market was down three straight years. But there are still things to do when markets are down. It doesn't need to derail your whole plan. We just happen to have the fastest bear market, fastest bull market recovery ever this year. Mm-hmm. Who knew? So why does this happen? What is going on?
I wish we knew.
I wish we knew. Well, some of the things that we do know is that the uncertainty is clearing around, obviously, the election. The Biden certification appears underway. Mm-hmm. He's picking his cabinet, and the market appreciates clarity. The market is approving of his decisions for Treasury Secretary with Janet Yellen, likes her background, her experience. We also had vaccine breakthroughs reported in the past recent history with Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca this week, Johnson & Johnson still in trials, but they're looking positive. And all of this clarity really cheered the markets. We've moved into record territory with both the S&P 500 and the Dow 30. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, this positivity has spread beyond Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and Apple. To other areas like oil stocks, like cruise and travel, airlines, and Tesla has had a great run here because they were added to the S&P 500. And so that makes all the, you know, the funds that mirror the S&P 500 have to buy Tesla. That's not necessarily about Tesla recovering so much as just a technical thing that has to happen.
Yeah.
But oil stocks, cruise travel, airlines, other companies that have been more depressed, the thought is there, you know, why would they go up? Well, with a vaccine, what we're seeing is that as there is access to vaccine over time, that will bring people back into travel, perhaps back into the offices. Eventually, that will mean more commute time, more use of energy and oil, more bookings, etc. And so there is more money flowing into some of these companies that have been pretty unloved for most of the year.
Yeah, but there's still some uncertainty because of the changes in how we're working, right? I mean, oil can do better and all that because people will be commuting, but I don't think as many people are going to be commuting. So there still has to be some sort of uncertainty, just knowing that a lot of companies aren't going to be bringing back their entire workforce because working from home has actually been fairly effective.
Yeah, that's really true. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's so easy. You know, the brain wants to have everything in black and white. Is it good? Not good. Is everything okay? It's fine now. Can we relax? Or is it still terrible? And this is all one of the things that I talk about often. There's always shades of gray here. So yeah, absolutely. There's a number of companies that aren't opening up there until July of next year at the earliest. Yep. And what we're seeing here in California, there's been more of a migration out of California because of people able to purchase homes elsewhere way cheaper than you can buy here and with the knowledge of telecommuting. However, it is with all those who are not working, as things do open up, the area that's been most impacted is the service area. So those who can telecommute, great. But those who work in restaurants, stores, travel, you know, more face-to-face, telecommuting is not the answer for them. They need to be there in person. So there is likely to be more commuting as those things open up again over time. But it will take time. It absolutely will take time that until this vaccine is more available over into 2021. I was going to talk a bit about US versus Europe. Just US is seen as better positioned than Europe for recovery, just overall in terms of the economy. How our Federal Reserve has responded to this and the stimulus provided, very different than the European Central Bank. And actually, our hospital capacity, although that is always a concern, it's much greater than capacity in Europe. So it is still seen that we are economically better positioned than Europe as we move forward. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here is why do all these things come together? It's because we have an economy that is basically two-thirds dependent on the consumer, not the government spending, not military spending, not even corporate spending, but the consumer spending. And since we had the CARES Act that started in April that provided the stimulus checks, the unemployment, additional benefits, et cetera, since that ended in the summer, the consumer spending has really slowed into the fall here. And that's been end of summer, the COVID coming back, you know, higher incidence. There's not another stimulus package. Current Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said, no, don't expect anything else in 2020 in terms of stimulus. And all of this, though, is likely to be temporary in terms of consumer spending. We're looking at holiday spending it's anticipated to be higher than the spending has been earlier this year. And why? There's this thing called the wealth effect. Many people are now looking at their accounts, their home values, et cetera, and they're surprised that they actually have more net worth if they stayed invested, et cetera, than they expected to have earlier this year or even last year. And that can make people more comfortable to spend. I was talking with a prospective client earlier this week, and we were talking about holiday spending. And actually, she said, I do have to be careful with holiday spending because I want to make everyone feel better. And I would put that out to the listeners, too. It's like, be careful this year because we still have to tap it light. It's not all resolved yet. And people have been through a hard year. We're all have a level of fatigue. And so measure the holiday spending.
Yeah.
You know, what is it? It's so much that spending can be used to make ourselves feel better for other people's hurt or try and make them feel better. And of course, it is really fun to purchase things. I'm not saying don't buy anything, you know, give everyone, you know, matches and post-its and pens and useful things. Sure, spread, you know, joy in terms of sharing and giving. But pay attention to what the motives are behind it, given the challenging year we've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that everybody is going to be able to breathe a collective sigh of relief as 2021 hits, even though we know that there's still things that we need to be cautious about or think about, because it's not like we flip a light switch and 2020 is over. Oh, thank God. Now everything's going to be clear sailing. So the question begs to be asked, what about 2021?
Well, 2021, we're looking towards that. Again, a part of my role and our role with Gates Pass Advisors is to allocate portfolios, manage the managers so that everything is aligned with a client's financial plan. Mm-hmm. And so we look at the economic indicators such as consumer spending. And it is anticipated that in the first quarter, consumer spending will be down. So if those headlines come through, that's what's anticipated. That's normal. After the holiday spending that occurs and the credit card bills come due in January, it's normal that there's a tightening of the belts. Mm-hmm. It's normal in January. If you think of resolutions.
Oh, yeah.
Watching spending is a normal thing that happens. Also, other expenses are due in the first part of January, you know, or into February, in the first quarter. Property and casualty insurance premiums are often due. Property taxes are often due moving into early April. Mm. Where tax preparation is happening and what people have to pay for taxes, all of these things. So you may see those headlines. We're expecting that. But then we're anticipating recover into the summer of next year. Why? Because A, that normally is what happens as people get through the, you know, tax season, et cetera. They can see like, okay, good. Now I can spend some money on me for a change. Also, going back to the vaccine, the supply is anticipated to get out to most people by the mid 2021 to the end of 2021. Mm-hmm. So it's going to start as soon as, you know, it's approved. It's going to start with the most vulnerable of the population, that they will be have access to the vaccine first, and that's likely by the end of the first quarter, and then be widely available, you know, month by month through the year. And that really would increase consumer confidence as well, if people feel comfortable to, and this is not a discussion about vaccine comfort or not. Yeah. I'm not going to go there. Just talking about how this impacts markets and investment, et cetera. And the market sees this as that will increase consumer confidence and the ability to move about, to go to restaurants, to travel, to be in social gatherings, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we look at is the Federal Reserve. I know it can put people to sleep just thinking about, like, what is the Federal Reserve? I don't want to think about that. But it'll continue to be accommodating. What does that mean when you hear that? It means that interest rates will stay low. Mm-hmm. Now, on the side where you're trying to save money and just keep it in out of more risky assets like the stock market, then you want to put it in savings. Well, we all know you're getting nothing in savings right now. So that's part of it. But the other side is many people are refinancing their mortgages. They're doing home improvements with the cash out that they're taking. If they do a cash out refinance, they're purchasing real estate. As I mentioned, what we're seeing in California, there is some migration out of California, selling the properties here and saying, I can go live, maybe even staying in California, but going to lower traffic areas, being able to buy a home that is more conducive for a full family and a full family where there is work at home and study at home, out of where I am, the Bay Area, that it, the part of that is the low interest rates now for purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So that also does help the economy. One of the big areas is home finance. When you buy a house, when you have to fix it for yourself, you have to buy all these different appliances often, you know, blinds, etc. And that is also geared towards consumer purchase. I mentioned also about Biden's cabinet, that who he's selecting is seen positively by the market. And then fiscal stimulus is likely going into 2021 or once the Biden presidency and administration is in place. And fiscal stimulus, two fancy words that basically are like what we've experienced since April with the CARES Act, where there were enhanced unemployment benefits, loans were forgiven or could put into forbearance where one could skip payments and not be penalized for that,
mm-hmm.
and protection for small businesses and individuals where they wouldn't be evicted. The market looks at that too and says, okay, if there's fiscal stimulus, it could be another check. What they saw with the first round of fiscal stimulus is that went right into the economy. That went into purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at companies, that companies are expected to recover earnings. There's been a big earnings drop this year. And by the end of next year, it's anticipated that earnings will be back on track in a similar trajectory that if we never had the pandemic. Foreign is anticipated to be up as well. So again, the U.S. continues to be well-positioned economically as we move forward through this. Each day, we're getting closer to the other side, but it will still take time.
Yeah. So for all of us that are sitting here, looking back and looking forward, we still have no idea, or at least I don't, how do we invest now? What should I do if I want to either begin investing or continue my investment?
Yeah, you know, this is a question I've been asked in so many different circumstances.
I bet.
It's like, what's the right thing to do now? There are those, I've spoken in the past, one of the things with behavioral finance is that the brain registers the pain of loss much more acutely than it does the pleasure of winning or gain. So for those who may have gone to cash even before the pandemic, because at that time it was seen, well, markets appear to the, you know, the U.S. stock market appear to be fully valued. What's the catalyst moving forward? Yes, we knew there was an election. What would that do? And then going through the big downdraft in the first quarter may have said, hey, look at me. I'm pretty smart. You know, I missed all this. And then now with the recovery going, if I invest now, we've had all this recovery. Am I getting in too late? And am I still better to just be in cash? So what we always go to first is, what is this money intended for? Is this money intended for a withdrawal need? In, you know, are you going to need to spend the money in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years? That's the very first thing to think about. Because if it's going to be needed in the short term, well, no, I would not recommend putting it in the stock market. Mm-hmm. For many people, like when you say if someone's just starting to invest or just considering their choices, for many, it's about retirement. And even if your retirement date is 2021, this is the thing that can get the brain. You're not going to withdraw your entire retirement account in 2021.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're going to live a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, we plan that people live till age 100 unless they give us another age. And again, my mom just passed away at 96. She didn't... you know, she wasn't out there working out every day. She wasn't, but she, you know, she kept a good, healthy diet and she walked every day. She was on one medication her whole life. I mean, I'm sure you have examples. I'm sure people listening have examples. I know my clients have examples that 100 is not that crazy an age. Mm-hmm. So if you're retiring at a quote unquote normal time period, somewhere between 60 and 70, you're going to need money for at least 25, 30 years. So hopefully you don't need to withdraw it next year. So that's one thing to consider. The other thing is, what are your reserves? For, I was talking with a client yesterday and, you know, they're going to need a new vehicle next year. Once they take care of that, what are the other things? Like, how much do we need in reserves and on the sidelines? Recently, I spoke with a client and she all of a sudden has an opportunity to really ignite her career in a whole new way. She's so excited and she may need supplemental income from her portfolio that she didn't expect to need while this venture takes off. Mm. So again, what is the money intended for? If this client needs supplemental income, maybe we don't want to put it all 100% in the stock market versus someone who is not planning to retire for many, many, many years, allocating to an all equity portfolio, maybe exactly the right thing, putting it in portion by portion. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about the stock market is realize that not all stocks have done as well as, you know, 62% recovery since March. That has been primarily led until very recently by those five companies that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You can take those out. If you take those out, then the market's been pretty flat. So it's always important to look under the hood. Stocks of a more traditional nature, ones that pay dividends, ones that are known as value stocks, those have not fared as well during the pandemic. So looking at that, looking at what is your exposure in your portfolio now, where might you need to fill in? I mean, here we are in Silicon Valley. Often people do have exposure to tech companies. If they fill in with the value companies, the ones paying dividends, they can still get in at a very reasonable valuation. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is, what income does one need? Does one need income for their portfolio? It's not just what's the money intended for or when one will need to withdraw the funds. It's what is the income need of a portfolio? Because for those in retirement, as we move forward, let's say one is in their 70s right now, and still looking at another 20 plus years to support a retirement, we're anticipating continued lower income from traditional bonds, like treasuries, like high quality corporates. I've talked a lot about how treasuries, which 20 years ago were paying 6%, are now paying less than 1%. That's a huge difference on your income. And so what pays good income? Dividend paying stock. I mean, Intel, names that you'll know: Intel, Procter and Gamble, mm-hmm. Disney. I mean, names that you will know pay dividends, and also lower quality bonds pay a higher level of interest. So when you say, how should I invest now? Those are some of the things to think about: timing, need for income, how portfolio is allocated. All of those things come into account.
Yeah. All right. I mean, there's a lot to consider, but if I'm still unclear, if someone still has a lot of questions, I mean, you gave a lot of great information, but it's like a fire hose, I'll be honest. Esther, you're way smarter at this than I am. That's why you do what you do. But if I'm not sure what to do, what is your best advice?
Well, we always go back to what is your plan, you know, and look at what is making you or made you hesitant to invest when, you know, if you're sitting on cash. Mm-hmm. Is there more clarity? You know, we're just like the market doesn't like uncertainty. People don't like uncertainty either. Is there more clarity now? Is there more understanding about the needs? Does there need to be a refresher on your planning? I mean, like you said, I'm so sorry. You know, I felt like, oh, I'm, you know, on the other end of a fire hose. We live this every day, and we know our clients don't. So do we need to go through something that hasn't been visited for a while? We always check that with our clients. What is your vision? What's your plan? How has anything changed in your approach, your confidence level, your personal life, given what we've just been through this past year? And then go back and revisit the plan, make a tweak or not, or just build education and understanding about investments together.
Yeah. What I like about this is the fact that, I mean, you're honest and you spell it out very, very clearly, you know, what has happened, kind of what's been going on. It's not always pretty, but you have such a positive spin on it. You have such a positive side of things. That's what we started this podcast off of. It's how you choose to look at something, how you choose to deal with something, because you and I can look at the same thing and come to the same conclusion, but how we move from that moment, whether I want to be positive about it or I want to grumble about it. I think you've done a great job, especially in this podcast, looking at what has happened, but giving us that hope, giving a true sense of hope for what 2021 can bring and just the little things that we can do. So I appreciate that. I know that I said it's like drinking from a fire hose, but that's, again, why you do what you do. and I'm looking forward to 2021.
Yeah, and hope is on the horizon. More hope is on the horizon. I would ask the listeners to look back, as this is the last podcast of 2020, and to look back and think, did my worst fear come true? As I watched the headlines, listened to the news, worried, what came true out of that? Or was it more just stories in my mind that I worried about? And if you're still not sure, this will all take a while to work out. It's not an overnight matter. We do anticipate going into the March of 2021, that'll be a year since the first lockdown. We're not anticipating we'll be out of the woods yet. But let's see what we can all do better, given our circumstances, given what we went through, and what didn't come to pass that we were concerned with, and what were the benefits? That's a whole other podcast, or I've talked about it in other ones. But I'm so looking forward to the podcast we have for 2021. We'll continue to talk about technical aspects, but also about relationships and money, other ways to address what we can do to positively impact our mental, physical well-being, because all of these support good financial decisions. And also talking about the Enneagram. We'll be doing that in early January as well.
The Enneagram. See, right now what I'm picturing is somebody coming to us, you know, our doorstep, staying 6 feet away and singing something to us. It's like the Singagram, right? Is that what it is? Singagram? Candygram? What is it?
Yeah, it's people who have innies. Their belly buttons are innies, and they come and sing an Enneagram.
They just come and show you. Hey, look, it's an Enneagram. That's disturbing on a whole new level, but can I invest in that? Is that something I can invest in? Because that sounds fantastic.
Of course, it's going to be the big hit for 2021. Train right away. It's actually Matt Schlegel, who wrote a book. He's an author of Teamwork 9.0. He calls it Teamwork 9.0 because there are nine different personality types of the Enneagram.
Nice. Okay. So we're going to map some personality traits and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
and how
exciting.
These impact our financial.
Such a geek for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, again, Esther, this has been fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the belly button thing. But before that, if somebody wants to talk to you about, I don't know, their belly button or their finances, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, yeah, if you just want to talk about your finances without worrying that you're going to be, you know, sold anything or anything, I just think, you know, I'm available. Just talk about what's going on with your finances, your decision making, what's concerning you on your mind. I reach out to us. We have a website, GatesPassAdvisors.com. And there's a contact button. Just that's the best way. Just hit that contact button. But you can also use that old fashioned thing called a telephone, and that's 650-797-0280. Just in case, I always think, you know, my mom had very severe macular degeneration. Do you know she never owned a cell phone? She never owned a computer. So I always think of her like there's also this thing called a telephone that we can use as well. So we're here, we're available, and we hope you have a very, very peaceful and healthy final closing out to your 2020.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. Esther, again, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Eric. Always good to talk to you, and we'll continue on in 2021.
Sounds good. I'll see you then. And thank you for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.